This is episode 67 of Our Modern Heritage, the Home and Family Culture Podcast. I'm your host, Jody Tathey. In this episode, I had the privilege of talking with Chanel Nielsen, the host of the Moms Who Know podcast.
So I've got on the show today, Chanel Nielsen, RYT, and that means registered yoga teacher. Is that correct?
That's right. Yes.
Awesome. She is the host and creator of the Moms Who Know podcast. She is the author of Parenting with Purpose, which has been translated into Chinese. She has worked in the fitness industry for 20 years and is a certified yoga instructor. She loves sunshine, healthy living, and dark chocolate. Chanel is the mother of 5 kids and married to her best friend. She loves helping moms take care of themselves and grow so they can take better care of their families. Welcome, Chanel.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be with you today.
I'm so excited. I love that you wrote this parenting with purpose. I think that totally speaks to family culture and, you know, being intentional about our parenting and the way we raise our families, that we have purpose, we have hope, we have direction. And so that's awesome. That sounds like definitely one to check out.
Thank you.
So tell us more about why you started, your inspiration behind starting the Moms Who Know podcast, because it's awesome. It's an awesome platform.
Sure. Well, thank you. I had podcasted before I started Moms Who Know podcast. I was podcasting as a job for a company that's based in China. And I had done that for a while in my subject of that podcast was actually parenting. And they're the ones that asked me to write, because that podcast went well and was popular in China, they asked me to write the book. And so anyway, I had gone along podcasting and really enjoyed it, but it was easy on some levels to put myself out there and to be vulnerable, because the only people listening were in China. And so I could say whatever I wanted with no fear of anyone that I knew ever hearing anything. And so that was easy for me. And then I just kept having this feeling, you need to start a podcast here. And I just, it made me nervous. Every time I would think about it, just butterflies in my stomach. I don't want to start a podcast here. I've got this podcast in China. This is a great thing. But I just really knew that it was the next step for me and what I needed to do. And I've learned in my life, when that nudge comes, I better listen.
Yeah, listen to that one.
Yeah.
So what is the overarching mission of your podcast?
So my motto for my podcast is, when moms take care of themselves, they can take better care of everyone else. Mm-hmm. So I really focus on moms. One of the names that I had thrown in there, thought about for instead of Moms Who Know, is moms are people too. And that's kind of one of the ideas that, it's not all about how can we be better parents. It's about how can we be better people, better women, better mothers, because that will lead us to be better at everything else we do.
Yeah. And I love, so I think, I assume that the title is based off of that Sister Beck talk, the Moms Who Know.
Yes. Yeah.
And I loved that talk, because it really was just about moms who know don't overcomplicate stuff. And we know what's important, what's not, and our priorities. And that's something to me that speaks to family culture in a lot of ways, because, when we are clear on our boundaries and we're clear on our values, it's so much easier to have direction and to have focus and prioritize what's really important. And so that clarity brings a lot of peace.
Oh, definitely.
So that's awesome. That's so awesome. So today we want to talk about family councils. So because you say that it's a part of our family culture, what's important is this family decision-making process. And so tell us, why is decision-making so important to our family culture?
Yeah. So this is something that I feel like has really shaped our family. And part of the reason for that is because it's a way we've gotten to know our kids. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of times it's very easy as parents, because we know so much and we're so wise, to just tell our kids, here's what you need to do. So what we've tried to create in our family is a process where when we have a question as a family, when we want to decide how to do something, we come together, and instead of us as parents dictating what needs to happen, we have created this atmosphere where we get input from the kids, where we try to understand what they want and what they need. And a lot of times the decisions that come out of this process are different than what we thought as parents, because yeah, we go in willing to learn also. And so it's created this atmosphere where we all learn from each other, and where the decision-making really is the group mind instead of just what mom and dad say.
That's awesome. I think that would really create a very powerful and inviting environment for your family to feel like they're a part of something and that they can contribute the input. And, you know, whenever people talk about culture, a lot of times it's corporate culture, you know? And so it's like, if you go to work and you don't feel like you can contribute, you don't feel like you're part of a team, then that can be like a really discouraging environment to live in. And if you bring that principle home, and your kids don't feel like they can contribute, they don't feel like they have a voice, then that can be a really discouraging environment too. And so yeah, I could see how this would be awesome. This would be a super effective way to make sure that that is an empowering environment for your family. And so that creates that feeling in your family culture that everybody is loved, everybody's welcomed. So I love
that. Yes. Well, I love that you mentioned corporate culture, because I think that when we hear the idea of councils or meetings, you can call them, you know, that word is kind of interchangeable. That's kind of what we think about is the business world. Right. And for a lot of us, if we're not familiar with this, it might sort of seem, you know, just different to do this in a family setting. And it really, instead of, you know, having this atmosphere of bossiness, it is what you said. It's empowering to the yeah, children. It's just like in a business relationship. It's a different sort of feel when you create these meetings.
Yeah. Yeah. So describe for us how do you define what a family council is?
Okay, so the very simplest definition that I would give is just that it is a family meeting. Now, if we're going to go a little bit deeper here, when we have a family council, we have a purpose in mind. So we come to it with a question or a problem, something that needs to be solved, and something that is not already predetermined. And this is important. So we actually have a question that we want an answer to. Sometimes as parents, we ask questions that we don't really want answers to, like, how do you feel about cleaning your room? Well, I don't really care how you feel about cleaning your room. You have to do it, right? There are things that we don't necessarily want to know the answer to. So when we come to a family council, it needs to be with that idea that we are seeking input. We're seeking those answers.
So maybe the question might be, how can we make cleaning up our rooms effective, or how can we make it fun, or how can we get it done? And yes, right. And then you would come together and come up with a creative solution, because yes, our kids might come to the table and go, well, I don't want to do it. Exactly. But then you're like, well, I guess we're at an impasse here, you know? But I think that it's important to come together that if for the purpose of finding a solution that works for everybody, hopefully, right? Ideally, it works for everybody. So you come up with a solution. So yeah, how do you use family councils in your family?
Okay, so there are a lot of different ways. I think that as parents, the easiest one and the one we want to do the most is the example you just said. Like, we see a problem. I have one girl and four boys, and I wish my house was cleaner. I wish my kids were cleaner. They're just not. That's just how it is right now. And so cleaning, it becomes an issue, right? And so I look at the house and I say, oh, we need to get this cleaner. And then if I come to a family council and say, you know, and we have these family councils, uh-huh, we need to get this house cleaner. How can we do it? That can be a tricky conversation. Now, yeah, those trickier conversations do need to happen, and there's a place for them in a family council. And I think that's good. But I just want to note that family councils, if they're always that, if they're always like,
right,
chores aren't getting done, homework isn't getting done, and how can we help it be better? Kids are not going to like this idea of a family yeah, council. And so I recommend that when you're having a family council, that yeah, some of the family councils that's the purpose, right? We need to get to a solution. We need to figure out how to make things work. Mm-hmm. But it's also important to have fun family councils. We recently had a family council about a vacation that we are planning. And usually for our family councils, one of the rules is no devices. Do not bring your phone. Mm-hmm. We're having a family council. This one, I said, we're having a family council. Please bring your devices. And everyone came. And then the family council was, okay, we live in California. We're going to New York. What do you want to do in New York? We're going to take some time, look up things to do in New York City with kids. Let me know what you find. And I sat there with pen and paper and I took notes on whatever my kids could find online. And this was a fun family council. I think if you don't have fun family councils mixed in with the work family councils, then you're not going to get that buy-in from your kids that you need.
So how often do you hold family council?
We don't have a regular schedule that we do family councils, but probably it averages once or twice a month that we do, and it's just as needed. We like to, when we do, I can talk a little more about the structure of our family council.
Okay, yeah, that'd be great.
So when we have a family council, like I said, there are some rules, and because we've done these regularly, our kids kind of know what to expect, that they don't bring devices is a main one, and that they need to come with a good attitude, and we come, which doesn't always happen. I wish that always happened, but we try. So then as whoever is holding the family council, and it might be a parent, it might be a child, they come with one question, one topic of discussion. So in like the one I just mentioned, we were planning our trip. Sometimes we'll say, okay, you know, it's going to be summer. How are we going to do fun activities this summer? What do you want to see happen this summer? Or our house isn't getting clean. What are some things we can do that will work for you guys to help it get clean? Whatever the question is, one question. And the person who's holding the council, yes, they probably have ideas and they're welcome to share them, but this is a time for everyone else. The person holding the council is coming because they see an issue, and then we can work together as a team to solve that issue and to talk about it. When things get heated in our family councils, then we take a break, and things do. We, you know, sometimes you're talking about tricky issues and kids will, you know, not be on board, not want to talk about it. And so we'll say, okay, we've come up with a few ideas. Let's talk about this again next week or whenever we need to. Let's get back together, because taking a break usually helps us to calm down and come back together ready to really discuss and get those ideas flowing.
So you also mentioned, so this is your family councils. Are there other kinds of councils that you guys like to do that help it along with to solve these problems?
Yeah, so we do. So if I want to say one thing, if parents see an issue like cleaning the house, the dishes aren't getting done, and they're like, oh, you guys are doing terrible at doing the dishes. This is just thinking. I'm thinking, okay, my kids are doing terrible doing the dishes. I need a solution. The solution is they need to make sure, you know, they need to know that the silverware goes right side up or upside down. That's an old debate, whichever way it goes, right? And this needs to happen and this needs to happen. That would not be a good scenario for a family council. You don't want to sit down and start telling your kids what needs to happen. So you just need to train them. And so when they're doing the dishes, say, hey, I noticed this isn't happening with the dishes. Here's what needs to happen. So using family councils only in that one way, where there's questions and not where you're just doing instruction. Some other kind of councils that we do, we have husband and wife council once a week. Mm-hmm. We sit down together, and my husband and I were both missionaries. And on our missions, we did a thing called companionship inventory, which is where you and your companion sit down and talk about how things are going. And we were married shortly after our missions, and we continued this with each other. And so we still do that once a week. To this day, we sit down and we say, how are things going? And what needs to happen with the kids, and what's going on? And so we have those councils with our spouse. Sometimes when a child is struggling, we'll have dad and mom and kid council. Sometimes it can be informal, where we take a kid out for a drive and we just ask them a question, you know, what, how can I support you with your schoolwork or something? And that is a less formal council, but it's still using these counseling principles.
Well, and I like that you address the question, how can I help you, rather than I noticed that your grades are dropping, you know, and then it becomes this confrontation and yeah. that would be so uncomfortable, right? And so that's, I like that you're coming with, what can I do to help? You know, you come to the session or the councils with, you know, what is the solution? Not, here's the problem and let's rub it in. And, you know,
yeah.
and it's, let's find a solution. Let's work together to figure this out. And I also like what you said about that it's not to time always for instruction. I think that that would make councils very tedious, right? If you were always coming together going, this, and you know, that wouldn't, I don't think that would create the kind of environment like we were saying at the beginning, where everybody feels welcome and where everybody feels like they can offer their input and things like that. I think it would make it very stressful. Yeah.
Yeah.
but that we can use opportunities for instruction and teaching naturally throughout the week or things like that. As we see those things arise, that it's okay to be like, hey, I noticed that, you know, and that's a really good way to instruct. I like that a lot. So I was going to ask you, like, what do you discuss? I think that you covered that really well. Is there a particular way that you organize the meeting? Like when you come together, do you have somebody, like you said that certain members of your family will lead the council. So how do they lead the council? And you know, what is like, is there a particular order? Are you discussing, do you just go to start to discuss the issues, or are there other things that you discuss?
Okay. Yes. Good.
That was
question.
A lot.
Yes, but I have
basically, what's the format of the family council?
in my book, I actually have an agenda, a family council agenda in there. And so this is kind of what we do. It just says the purpose of the council, the question or items for discussion, and then ideas, family solutions, meet again to discuss, and further action. So those are the things on the agenda. So I think that going into the council, the very first two are what you need to be clear on, whoever's holding it. What is the purpose and what are we going to discuss? So when you are holding this council, you need to have an idea. At the end of this council, we will have decided this. This will be a successful council if we have, you know, gone further in our understanding about this subject. I wanted to share an experience. My son, Trevor, when he was about 6 years old, it was when President Trump was running for office, and he was hearing a lot of things at school. And we live in California. It's very diverse. And a lot of people have moved here from Mexico, and he has a lot of Mexican friends. Mm-hmm. And kids at his school were saying, if Trump becomes president, then, you know, the Mexicans won't be able to stay in the country, just all these things, because right. they're elementary school. They were young. They didn't know what this meant. They knew they had just heard things and it filtered down and they were confused.
Yeah.
So one day Trevor was just ready. He wanted to have a family council. And he said, Mom, can we have a family council? And I'm like, well, I'm making dinner. You know, we can't right now. Can we maybe do it at dinner? And he said, okay. So he's just chomping at the bit all day. He wants to have this family council so bad. We finally sit down to dinner. As soon as we're done with prayer and ready to eat, he said, okay, guys, we need to talk about something. I've heard this about Donald Trump, and I'm really worried about who we're going to vote for. So who are we going to vote for? And had a discussion about the election, and he wanted to sway his parents' vote and make sure, you know, who we were going to vote for. And I just thought this was so great because he knew the process in our family. Mm-hmm. He knew that if there was something that he was concerned about, we could talk as a family and figure out. And then, you know, we were able to tell him some of the things that he had heard that were wrong, and mm-hmm. to talk about both candidates and to talk about some of the issues, and had a really great family council about politics, which we never would have thought to do, but yeah. our six-year-old brought to the table.
Huh, that's so interesting. I think I love that because it's interesting the things that like filter into our family culture are the things that, you know, that are important that we should be able to discuss as a family, right? Things like politics, that's part of your family culture. You know, the things that you convey to your children and your beliefs and your values and things like that. That's awesome that family councils allow you to open up for opportunities to discuss that stuff rather than like maybe them watching the news and coming up with their own, you know, interpretation of what's going on, yes, you're able to teach them and to guide them and you know, shape your values together. And that's really powerful, especially if you bring in politics and things like that, politics and religion, right? Like,
yeah, things that can get heated, right? It's so great to have this format where you can discuss as a family whatever needs to be discussed. It's a safe place. It's a place where people can share what they need to share and they feel that security and safety. And I think that's a big piece of what family mm-hmm. councils do.
So this might be a harder question. I didn't prepare you for this one, but the question that I wanted to ask you is, so then how would you diffuse any feelings of not safe? You know, if you want to bring your kids together, how would you diffuse those any feelings of insecurity and fear that maybe kids have or even parents have of coming together to discuss things?
Yeah. Oh, that's such a great question. And I will say it's not, if you expect family councils to be, you know, this Brady Bunch, like perfect, we're all sitting happily and it's wonderful every time, then you're probably in for a rude awakening. We have two mm-hmm. teenagers now and it doesn't always go like that. And sometimes there's some major eye rolling from the teenagers. They don't want to be there, or, you know, they're worried about whatever. They're just being teenagers. That's okay. But I think that goes back to what I was saying earlier, which is keep it light sometimes. Mm. The more that you have practice, and you could even think of it this way, as practice family councils. We are practicing making decisions as a family. So we're going to practice by deciding what fun family tradition we want to start on Friday night, or, you know, where to spend our summer vacation, or fun, light things that we want to have in our family. When you practice those, and then your kids can practice feeling safe. They see, okay, I can say whatever I want and mom's not going to get mad because I have a different opinion. It's okay to have a different opinion. The second thing that I would say is to really come to family councils open to listening and without an agenda, just being prepared to get different ideas. And I share a story in my book about how this happened with our family. One time we were planning for the summer. We have a family council where we plan out the summer. Mm-hmm. And my kids came to that family council just weeping and wailing and gnashing their teeth. They did not want to be there. And they thought it was so lame that I even wanted to plan the summer. They said, you know what? We've been in school. Our teachers tell us what to do. We just want to be free. We want to be kids. We want to do what we want to do. And I said, well, it's important to me that we have some kind of structure, because otherwise you guys just are, you know, laying around asking to play video games, fighting with each other, and that's not what I want for the summer. So we went ahead and had this family council, and we had these two kind of different things we wanted to happen. And in the course, we were able to come together, and we had a very loose structure that worked for our family for the mm-hmm. summer. And it was awesome. It wasn't what I had in mind and it wasn't what they had in mind, but it was that coming together. And what we ended up doing was they had certain things they needed to get done in the day. If they were done by a certain time, they could have some electronics, and it worked. But it wasn't the solution I would have come up with. So we have to go being willing to listen.
Yeah, I love that so much, because that, again, that creates that open environment that everybody feels like they can contribute, and it feels like you're a part of something. You're a part of this family, and you can give your input. And I think that's so important. I recently read this book called Crucial Conversations, and, you know, when you come together to have an important conversation, if there's any fear involved in the conversation at all, then the tendency is either silence or violence. Mm. And so people either retreat into their fear or they fight back. And so the solution is that you need to help them to feel safe. And so I like this idea of making it fun, making it open, you know, being able to allow everybody to share. I think that would be a good environment where you can diffuse any fear so that there's less silence or violence in this situation, and you can accomplish those goals and the purpose of the meeting. So that's awesome.
Yes.
So you mentioned that it's not always about problem solving to make it fun. And you also mentioned not bringing any devices. What are some other like best practices to make coming together for, to have family council more effective for a family?
I would say timing with kids is so important. If kids are hungry or, you know, tired and grumpy, then it's always going to be a battle. And so, you know, right after a meal, or you could be a super fun mom. I'm not, but you could be, and you could bring snacks to your family council or, you know, a treat that you don't usually have, but just, you know, even adding that little element of lightheartedness of, oh, this is a gathering where we have food could really do a lot to make it fun.
Yeah, totally. I love that. That's, I love that idea too, that, that it's important to be aware and conscientious of their feelings and what's going on, because like, yeah, it's so hard to function if they're crabby or tired or hungry. Like, that would be totally ineffective, right? Awesome. And one more question I wanted to say, let's see, about family councils. How can you make family councils a part of, how can we make family councils a part of our rhythm without it feeling overwhelming? You know, because sometimes I think people hear about it and they go, wow, that's just one more thing to add to my checklist of being a good mom or dad, you know? But I think that it doesn't have to feel that way. So what is your advice about parents who may be listening going, this is a lot to take in, but how can we make it a little bit more digestible?
I'm so glad you asked that, because I think with a lot of things in parenting, it's so easy to just, you know, have this tool and then turn around and beat ourselves up with the tool. And that is not the purpose of the tool, right? It's to help us. And so I think that, you know, start small is always the best way to start. So think of this as a way for you to get to know your kids better and your kids to help you and to have buy-in in the family. And that's exactly what will happen when you have family councils. Now, we like to, when we have family councils, we're a little more, I don't know if formal is the word, but we sit in a certain place. We have a meeting. It's a very meeting feel. If your family's not like that, that might not work for you. Maybe it would work better to have, you know, a more casual family council at the dinner table or in the car. Everyone's there, turn off the radio and say, hey guys, I just wanted to talk about this, you know, I need help with planning meals. Can everyone tell me their favorite meal and I'll get that on the menu? I mean, it could be as simple as that. So take it from where you are, start where you are and just start by getting your kids' input and practice listening. And then you can keep growing it to wherever your family needs. And that might look so different for different families and it's all okay. The principle here, what's really important is that we are listening to our kids and we're creating an environment where they feel comfortable talking to us. And this is a tool to get there. And if you have another tool that helps you get there, then you use that one. You know, you use what works for you.
Thank you. I loved that so much. That's exactly what I was hoping for with that question, because I just think that you're absolutely right. Like we shouldn't, I don't want anybody to feel like this is a pressure to do something more. It's really a useful tool. So I love that. What is your favorite resource about family culture?
Okay. I love
family councils.
Yes. I love the book Counseling with Our Councils by M. Russell Ballard. So if you're looking to get started with a family council, I would recommend that one. I also, in my own book, there's a chapter on family decision-making that talks specifically about this and has that agenda that I mentioned earlier.
Awesome. Yes. Counseling with Our Councils. Is that what it's called?
Yes.
And then Parenting with Purpose by Chanel Nielsen.
Yes.
Awesome. So something that I'm starting new with my podcast going forward is I want to ask you, what does it mean to you to leave a legacy?
So I love the word legacy. And I think that it's a word that for me anyway, it scares me a little because it seems so big and life is about so many little pieces. It's about, you know, little tiny things. And I think about all the little things are just doing these little things. We're making meals and we're, you know, hugging our kids at night. But by doing the things that matter, which means communicating with our kids, showing them love, teaching them what's important. That overarching theme is our legacy. And so the legacy I want to leave with my family, I care what you say and I see who you are as a person and I am listening.
I love that. I love that so much. Thank you. I love that a lot. Thank you so much, Janelle. I love everything that you talked about, and I'm really grateful that you came on the show to talk more about the family councils and decision making. I know that as families do implement this into their family culture, that it will start to create a sense and a feeling of safety in our families and the ability to come together to have discussions and problem solve. So thank you so much, Janelle.
Oh, thank you.
Tell us where we can find you and learn more about the Moms Who Know platform and connect with you.
Yeah, the best place is my podcast, which is called Moms Who Know, and you can find that anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening. I really enjoyed talking with Janelle. She's so wise and insightful, and you should go check out her podcast at Moms Who Know. And I want to talk for just 1 second about podcast websites. That's the platform that I use for my website. And I like using podcast websites because it has been a really easy and convenient way to create a website along with the podcast. And the wonderful thing that they provide too is they have courses and videos and tutorials and instructions for how to improve and create your podcast. So you can go check that out at homeandfamilyculture.com/podcast websites. Thank you so much for listening. You can find Our Modern Heritage on whichever platform you prefer to listen to a podcast. And you can find me on Instagram at Family Culture Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Mother Teresa once said, "If you want to change the world, go home and love your family."